if you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. I'm going to continue our message as we started last Lord's Day on the most neglected person in the church. The most neglected person in the church. And in Exodus chapter 20, chapter 25 and verse 6, I'll read one verse there. I've read these passages for our foundation. In chapter 25 and in verses 1 through 8, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering, and this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and the badger skin and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices of ointment, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones beset in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." God given his specific instructions to Moses on building the tabernacle that he might dwell with them. Then in Exodus chapter 27 and in verse 20, "Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten, for the light to cause the lamp to burn always." The most neglected person in the church, as I pointed out last Sunday, is the blessed Holy Spirit. And his ministry, he is the blessed, adorable person of the third person of the Godhead. He is as real. He is Jesus Christ. He is God. And he is the Holy Spirit. Same God, but different functions in the Godhead. All three in one. The most neglected person in the church. When we talk about the Holy Spirit being grieved or being hurt, I spoke last Sunday about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. His ministry, when you are saved, you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. That is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Then there is the infilling of the Holy Spirit that has to do with service. And we are filled for service. This morning, I got on my knees, and I prayed, and I asked God to fill me for the service this morning, that I might be able to preach in His anointing and preach in His power. I claimed Luke 11:13. He said, "To give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him." He's not talking about more of the person that of the Holy Spirit, but He's talking about giving us an endowment of power that we might be able to serve Him and have a victorious life and have the power of God in our life. But I'm so afraid that He is neglected so many times. How much time have you spent with Him this week? Have you neglected Him? Have you ignored Him? Have you shunned Him? Have you paid little attention to Him? The ministry of the Holy Spirit is so important in our life. The Bible says that grieve not the Holy Spirit. That word simply means don't hurt Him. Do not do hurt to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll ask you a question. How many of you would come to Tabernacle Baptist Church if every time you came, you were neglected? You were forsaken. Or you were ignored. Or you were overlooked. Or you were rejected, or you were scorned, or you were abandoned, or you were deserted, or you were forgotten about, or you were overlooked, and you were slighted, or snubbed, or spurned. The word grieved means to hurt to, but I got some synonyms for the word grieved. It means afflicted, anguish, bemoaned. How do we hurt the Holy Spirit? By grieving Him. By being distressed, doing hurt, anguish, mournful, saddened, smitten, troubled, tormented, or vexed. These are all synonyms for the word grieve. We grieve Him. Now, I want to lay the foundation how important it is, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life.
You and I must allow Him to minister in our life, or there'll be no maturing in the Lord. There'll be no joy in the Lord. There'll be no comfort in the Lord. There'll be no strength in the Lord. There'll be no power in the Lord. It'll be a hard drudgery. And you will do what you do in the energy of the flesh, and you'll be defeated. I got a statistic this week that disturbed me. It said less than 1% of all pastors and missionaries, full-time people who go out in the Lord's work, finish strong in the Lord. Less than 1%. I think the reason for that is the need of understanding the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, if you don't have Him living in your life, if He's not living in your temple or your tabernacle, you're not saved. The Bible says, "He that hath not the Spirit of God is none of His." We're not saved. But we need to yield not only to Him as a person, but we need to yield to Him whenever He tells us what to do. We hurt Him when we don't obey His Word. He's the author of this book. And we are disobedient. We don't obey His Word. But I have one grandchild that is obstinate. Now, all of them are little angels, but this one is a little obstinate. She's not here this morning, so I thought about it. Braylon is a handful. And she has her own. You have to give her about 5 or 6 legs. Really? And give the other one 1 leg. But it's hard to get through to her. She just, it's like her grandparents. About to get in trouble. But she is obstinate. She's a strong-willed child. But this week her mother had to spank her. And she told her, "You have been deliberately disobedient, and you must receive a spanking." And she gave her 1 good lick. And she said, with tears running down her cheeks, she looked up to her and said, "Mommy, I'm so sorry. I'll not be disobedient to you anymore." And Sherry said that just broke her heart. She rejoiced, "Hey, maybe I'm getting through to this kid." But that's what happens when we disobey the Holy Spirit. We do hurt to Him, and we need to realize that we disobey Him. Now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is so important. This little phrase, "oil for the lamp." The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye being filled with the Spirit." I wish I had time to deal in detail with every various part of the tabernacle, but I don't. It's impossible. There is a beautiful picture here of the Lord Jesus Christ in the tabernacle. When you study the tabernacle, His person and work is so seen in every phase of the work of the tabernacle. In other words, all the gold speaks of His deity. All of the wood speaks of His humanity. All the silver speaks of redemption and so forth. So the tabernacle presents Him as the God-man that came and gave Himself for our sin. In the Old Testament, He is the shadow, and the New Testament, He is the substance. But in Exodus 25, the Lord commanded Moses to build the tabernacle exactly according to specific directions, and He was given all these directions, and He wanted the tabernacle so carefully, minutely constructed and assembled, that it would be completely perfect and the picture of Christ. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He is the light of the world, and the holy place in the tabernacle, the most holy place, is where the Lord dwelled. And it was in total darkness until the Shekinah glory of God came. And there was no windows there, and there was no light except the light that was given by the lampstand, the light that expresses, or the light in the holy place the nature and the character of our God. So God is the light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And the lampstand pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the light to His people. 1 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who has commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Christ is the light in His people. Ephesians 5:13-14. Awake and arise, and Christ shall give thee light. Christ is the light not only to His people, in His people, but through His people. In Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. So the lamp is a light-bearing instrument, and it must have oil before it can function and give out light. So Exodus 26 says, Moses was instructed that and he says there must be oil for the lamp. And this was an absolute necessity that there be oil provided for the lamp on the light, or the light would go out. There would be no light there, and the priest would not be able to do the work of God. He'd be stumbled around in darkness. That's the picture of the church today. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us light, gives enablement, gives us power, gives us vision to do the ministry and do the work today. He dwells in our tabernacle, and He wants to be a minister to us and through us. So today, the lampstand is no longer in the world, and it was expedient for Christ to go back to the Father and send another comforter. And the Holy Spirit is that comforter, and He is the oil for the work of to be carried out. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life, and if we have no oil, we're none of His. But and there is no resource down in us for us to spring forth oil. That oil has to be planted there by the new birth, and He has to be given right away and complete surrender in our life to give us a divine enablement. We have no oil spring within ourselves. We have no oil for the light within our own ability. The lamp needs the strength of the oil, which is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it is imperative that we have that oil for the light. Now, and we need fresh oil. We need it to be continually, every day, let the light shine in our in this dark world. Someone has said, truth and holiness, joy and power and love are the beams of sacred light. And so much of that depends upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this little word, four little words, it seems so insignificant, but don't forget the oil. It seems like it's almost trite to say that. And oil for the light. Oil for the light. Four little words. But if there had been no oil, there would be no light, and the priest could not see to do the work and the ministry that God's called him to do. And if we are not in contact and have that flowing through our lives of the divine enablement of the power of God, we'll not do anything that is worth eternity. As wood, hay, and stubble, and we must have the divine enablement. We must have oil for the light. So I want us to look at the need for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to continue with this thought, and I know I brought a message on this some time back, but I feel compelled to drive it home again. The oil was pure oil. It says in verse 20 of chapter 27, and that they bring pure oil. Pure oil speaks of the quality of oil. And oil, olive oil was made in three different ways. It was made by heating it. It was made by separating of the water and the residue. But then it was made, this oil that we have for the lamp was used, made a different way. This lamp oil was pure oil. In other words, it was allowed, the olives were allowed to ripen and getting ready to burst, so they were black and full of juice and getting ready to burst forth. Then they were taken and put between the grinding stone and by bruising and by pressing the pure oil out of them without any fire, without any water residue. Just the pure oil residue came out, and it was pure. And this process broke down the oil cells and caused a more abundant oil to flow. And the soft fruit is then crushed with these huge, heavy stones that grinds out a pure oil. And only pure oil can be used in the tabernacle. This pure oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. He's called Holy Spirit. He's pure. And it's a picture of the Holy Spirit. And this oil runs from the olive press without the application of fire, or it's of its natural process. The fact that the oil of the lampstand in the tabernacle, by the simple process of bruising and beating olives, is very interesting and very symbolical when you think of it in the light of Gethsemane and Calvary. You see, the word Gethsemane means what? It means oil press. And Emmanuel, God with us, must be bruised before the oil can flow, and the Holy Spirit could not be given until Jesus was glorified. So before he could enter into his holy, the holy place, it behooved Christ to suffer. So Pentecost is made possible by the Passover, and Christ's crucifixion secures the Spirit's anointing. So this oil is pure oil. And then this oil was absolute necessity for the lamp. The lamp could not give the power to burn of itself. And I'm so afraid that we as Christians, who are vessels that bears the light, and God has no other vessel to show His light through except the born-again Christian. But I'm so afraid that we have no oil for the light. We are not in a contact with that source of light. And the source of the light is not the priest himself. It's not the lampstand itself, but it is the oil. It is making yourself available to that fresh, continual flowing of fresh oil. Be ye being filled with the Spirit. Now, there's a difference between lampstands and candlesticks. The candlestick burns by consuming itself. But the lampstand burns by consuming a continuous supply of oil from another source. And that's what we move on. That's what we work on. We work on the energy of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we are instruments. He does the work. He gives us the joy. He gives us the peace and the contentment to do it. So oil must flow freely and not be any obstructions in the lamp. And the Spirit shall not speak of Himself. His light shall shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So let's not let's check and see if our life has any. If the stems are clogged up, if there's any bitterness or resentment or malice or hatred or jealousy, if we have the feeling of when we see an individual or you see an individual, do you have a spirit of resentment or you are? In other words, it's like heaven grip in the crankcase of your engine. Your engine will not work smoothly if you have low oil pressure. If you're out of oil, it will freeze up, sparks will fly, and the next thing you know, it will freeze up and it'll be metal against metal, and you will have to stop your engine. We have Christians that is operating without the energy of the Holy Spirit, and the sparks will fly. And they will freeze up and get cold and won't do what God wants them to do. Now, this oil was not only pure, it speaks of its quality, but this oil was plenteous, speaks of its quality. Not only its quantity, it speaks of its pureness, speaks of its quality, but plenteous speaks of its quality, or quantity. How plentiful is the supply of the Holy Spirit? You don't get more of Him, He gets more of you. And all the power that you need is available to you at the indwelling of the Spirit of God at the when you are saved, but there is an infilling. And 1 Peter 1:3 says, according to His divine power, has He given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So that's why He said the Holy Spirit, every little word is so important. And He said, don't forget the oil for the light. Don't forget the oil for the light. Without the oil for the light, the place would be in darkness. And unlike the temple, there's no windows, I said, in the tabernacle. And it's necessary for the priest to have a light if he's going to do the job. And the beautiful carvings and design of golden lampstands with its ornate seven branches should be kept burning continually while the priest did his work. And to do this must be abundance of oil for it to never go out, but for it to be constantly burning, and there should be a constant supply. So Moses issued this little command in Exodus 27:20, oil for the light. Now, if you think of that, the work of the priest was done in a place of complete darkness, save the lampstand, and darkness was everywhere. There was no natural light. So the light from the lamp stands were absolutely imperative. Now, is there light coming from your lampstand? Is there light coming from my lampstand, where the Holy Spirit dwells, or is it clogged up? Are there no ministry in my life to give me divine enablement? I was talking to a pastor yesterday, and he said he was a young pastor, just getting started, and I was trying to encourage him. And he said, how do you continue to go? You've been pastoring for 42 years. How do you continue to go? Don't you ever want to retire? I said, no. When I retire, I'm going to go to heaven. I mean, retire, nothing. What? I can't. I said to him, you better make sure that you're plugged in and you're not running off the energy of the flesh. You better make sure that your pipes are not clogged. You better make sure that you have the divine enablement. The priest could not do the work if he had not had the oil. Of all the things Moses commanded the children to bring, he commanded to bring gold, silver, fine linen, onyx stones. Notice, but had there been no light, it was a light that displayed all that beauty of the beauty of the lampstand, the candlesticks, and so forth. The beauty of that gold, silver, and fine linen, and the glitter of the onyx stone. We read, oil for the light. So it's important for you to realize the ministry of the Holy Spirit in doing the work of the Lord. And I'm afraid so many times that we offend Him, we grieve Him, we let the wick get hard, and the oil won't go through, and the oil can't burn because we're not saturated and soaking up the oil of the Holy Spirit in our life. In other words, it's clogged up, it's hard. We ought to let the Lord tenderize us. And sometimes circumstances come in our life to where the Lord will tender us so we can soak up the oil. And that depends on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we can be consumed with getting all of our degrees, all of our diplomas, and our positions, and in all of our getting, we forget the importance of the ministry of the oil for the light. This oil was pure, it was plenteous, but it was precious. The Holy Spirit is the most precious person in our economy today, the economy of the church. It's His job to introduce people to Jesus Christ. It's His job. If He doesn't introduce them to Christ, they'll not be one to Christ. It's His job to do the saving. It's His job to do the wooing. But He has to have a vessel to work through, and that's me and you. He's precious. His ministry is absolutely essential. And the Holy Spirit is precious. He gives sight. He gives strength. He gives supplication. And the presence of God may be sometimes in your life, you feel like He's a million miles away. When I woke up this morning, I didn't have a good night at all last night. And I didn't have, my wife is sick, and I was up and down all night. And I woke up this morning, and the old body just did not feel like moving. You understand what I'm talking about? You just didn't feel like moving. But then, I'm so glad that I said, okay, Lord. And I had to have a little prayer meeting. I had to have a little time, a little talk with the Lord. And He gives us strength to go on. And I'm so glad that I went ahead and did what He said. And in the meantime, the body says, why don't you just rest? The body, the body and the mind just works on you constantly and says, oh, why don't you just take off? And your service for God is barren and dry, and defeat is written across our face of our countenance, and dark clouds of despair and defeat follow us, and we stumble in the work of God. What is the remedy? What can we do to have that vibrant anointing, that freshness, that joy, that comfort, that peace that we all talk about? Is being filled with the Holy Spirit, submitting and yielding to complete obedience. God will not fill you. God will not enable you. What good is my preaching if it's not anointed with the Spirit of God? What good is my singing if it's not? We think we can preach, we can sing, we think we can do the work of the Lord, do all the activities of the Lord without His anointed. It's nothing. Amen. Rubbish. Oh, for the oil. Oh, for the oil. What good is our buildings if we have no oil for the light? We can have the best of facilities and have no oil for the light. What good is our schools if we have no oil for the light? What good are our organizations if we have no oil for the light? What good is our choir? And I thought how beautiful the choir sang this morning. How Tim was getting people to sing. And I thought, Lord, it's good, but we need oil for the light. We need anointing. We need freshness. We need that reality of the resurrected Christ in our life. What our fellowship. We can fellowship around politics. We can fellowship around our government. We can fellowship around the golf course. We can fellowship around the basketball court, around the Super Bowl. We can fellowship around everything. But oh, what a warmness and freshness it is when we have the oil of that divine enablement in our fellowship that magnifies our Lord. We have no light if we have no oil. We can do without our organizations, but we can't do without our oil. We can do without our buildings, but we can't do without our oil. We can do without our schools. We can do without our choirs and our fellowship and our preaching and our activities, but we cannot do without the oil for the light. You'll not be able to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I didn't know that was there was a divine enablement. I didn't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that I was required to surrender and be obedient to the Word of God. I didn't know, Lord. Yes, you do. Just be obedient to the Word of God and surrender to His blessed will. Without the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. Without the Holy Spirit, the service is dead. Without the Holy Spirit, the witness is silent. You can't witness for the Lord without the oil. We can't witness for Him without the oil. Our prayers are lifeless. The Bible is obsolete. And many of our church members grope in darkness of defeat and despair, trying to do the best we can. And we're going through a ritual, and we're worse than some monastery somewhere, of going through the Hail Marys and all of our form and our ritual without the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We're like a blind man trying to do God's work in the dark. So the filling of the Holy Spirit is imperative for His service. That's why we don't soul win. I talked to the deacons last Sunday night about soul winning. I talked to Rod this week about soul winning. I talked to Shelton Smith this week, editor of the Sword of the Lord, about soul winning. I'm burdened about it. I'm burdened about it. I'm burdened because I don't see it being done. And we are a fundamental, independent, anti-evangelical, Separatist, Baptist church. Boy, we are theological, doctrinally straight. And we can cross our I's and draw the, and dot our theological T's. But I want you to dot our theological I's and cross our theological T's. But we don't have the anointing. We don't have the surrender. We don't have the divine enablement. It's rubbish. There's no freshness. And there is no warmness, and our servants are cold and dead and barren, and our life is refrigerated. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the most important aspect of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:8 says. We're to be under His influence. We're to be controlled by Him. Now, He can't control you. And you be disobedient to His Word. He'll never operate contrary to the Word of God. He'll never fill you and control you. You'll never be under the influence of His power and be disobedient. And it's the filling ministry that makes the doctrine experimentally without the oil. We have nothing but cold, dead orthodoxy. There's no growth in the believer's life. You know the reason why we don't grow is because there's no oil. We're so filled with self and our own want-tos and doing what we want to do and not obedient to the Word of God. Hey, you just do what God tells you to do and surrender to being obedient to the Word of God. Make this old flesh do what it doesn't want to do. By the way, did anybody's television blow up last Sunday night? Was it last Sunday night, Will? I prayed for it to blow up. Was that Sunday night? I asked the Lord not to hurt anybody, but just blow up the television if anybody's sitting home watching television. Anybody brave enough to raise your hand? There's no growth in the believer's life if there's no infilling. And He is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. It's He that does that. There's no sanctification. Power. There's no abiding fruit. There's no freshness. Our services for God are stale. Our singing is cold. Our life is dead and musty old bread. All to be controlled under the influence and making our engine run smoothly by a fresh change of oil. Can we have a oil for the light? Oh, we can be correct in our homiletics. We can be correct in our exegesis of the passage. We can be correct in our doctrine. We can be eloquent in our delivery. But no oil, there is no life. We need oil for the light in this old cold dark world. And in our journey wilderness, in our pulpit, we need oil for the light. In our pews, we need oil for the light. In our prayer closet, we need oil for the light. In our personal life, we need oil for the light. In our soul winning, we need oil for the light. If we don't have oil for the light, then there'll be no, the instrument cannot give out light. Oil for the light. D.L. Moody, I'll read it to you once again. I read it last Sunday, but I'll read it again. I read his biography several times, and this is written by his son. During an Eastern visit, the hunger for more spiritual power was still upon Mr. Moody. Quote, Mr. Moody gives his own experience. Mr. Moody says, my heart was not in the work of bagging, he said. I could not appeal. I was crying all the time that God would fill me with His Spirit. Well, one day in the city of New York, oh, what a day, I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It is almost too sacred an experience to name. Paul had an experience which he never spoke of for 14 years. And I could only say that God revealed Himself to me, and I had such an experience of love, and I had to ask Him to stay His hand. I went to preach again. The sermons were not different. I did not present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted. I could not be, I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience. If you would give me all the world, it would be as the small dust of a balance. D.L. Moody, God used that man to shake two continents for the world. You know what's wrong with our churches. I wish you'd pray for me. I'll be leaving early Monday morning, and I'll be flying to Atlanta. We have about 45 of our board members for the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship that is meeting in Atlanta for our midwinter board meeting. It's a working board meeting. They come in from all over America at their own expense. College presidents, pastors, men from all over. And we meet, and I have a burden. I have a burden. I will share it with you. I have been the president for over 25 years of that fellowship. When it started, we had about, I think at the national meeting, maybe 30 pastors at a national meeting. Now there's hundreds, there's thousands. And I believe that God has brought it to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I believe this meeting that I'm going to, I'll be Monday night, and I'll come back Tuesday. I'll be here for Wednesday night services. But I have two times in my life really sensed the hand of destiny that this is why I was here. As God seeming to say, this is why I brought you to the kingdom. This is what I have been preparing you for. This is what I want done. And I'm setting the chart for the course for 2001. For the 21st century, I want to set set the course for younger men who are coming behind me and will pick up the torch and carry it. And I believe that history will say that the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship is the oldest and it's the largest. This is our 82nd year. But I believe the greatest days for that fellowship is yet ahead. But there's something wrong. And I can see it. And there is... Well, during President Carter's recession... There was lines at the pump. There was prices, gas prices, oil prices were up. America faced an oil crisis. She had all the latest technologies, all the powerful factories and missiles and turbines and ships and planes. She was a nation on wheels. But she had no power because she had no oil.
There was an oil crisis. Fundamentalism and fundamental Baptist churches has an oil crisis. Fundamentalist churches has no oil for the light. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach. And I want to set the course for our fellowship. And I'm setting the course for this church. And I don't know how much longer the Lord gave me, 8, 10, maybe 15 years. I have no idea. I don't know. But these last years are going to be oil for the light. There's going to be, I'm praying for God to help us to hit a gusher. And where that the Holy Spirit can minister in our homes, minister with our wives, minister in our relationship with our families, minister with our relationship within the family of God, ministering with our stewardship, ministering, and let Him ministering in our soul winning and in our different relationships in the ministry. Let Him provide the oil, the light. Allow Him to minister through you and to you. Have you allowed Him to minister to your children? Have you allowed Him to minister to your mom and dad? Have you allowed Him to minister to your loved ones? Have you allowed Him to minister to the unsaved? Have you allowed Him to minister to the brothers and sisters in the local church? Have you allowed Him to minister through you? Or have you ignored, paid no attention to, shunned, grieved, disobeyed, and said, I'll do what I want to do? And you might not say that, but you do it anyhow. Instead of surrendering and letting Him flow through you and letting Him give you a divine enablement to study His Word, to witness to others, to give somebody else the gospel. He is the most neglected person in the church. He's the most neglected person in our life. God of eternity living us in us in the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the most neglected person in our life. And the most important person that is in our life. I pray that we'll get to know Him. By the time I'm finished now, I've laid my foundation. I'm going to go to work. Now, every Sunday morning, will you be obedient and surrender to Him? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Next Sunday, I will deal with the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how He ministers in our life. I want us to know. He gives us power. He gives us peace. He gives us comfort. He gives us guidance. He gives us strength. He gives us encouragement. He's the one that does it. And we just need to be tapped into that resource. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're going to sing one stanza of an invitation hymn. God's spoken to your heart.